This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in baseball isn't boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
We are a week until the NFL draft, and the Browns don't have a first-round pick again. But that's okay. He's joining us live in studio very shortly. They did have to get coffee, so he is a coach that drinks coffee, so we can cross off the Belichick question.
Now we're out of questions.
We're just going to sit here and stare at each other for the next 45 minutes.
Sounds exciting.
The head coach of your Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski, joining us in studio. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Good morning, guys.
Can we move on to the Taylor Swift questions?
Yeah, go right
Bring
on
it.
Ahead.
Bring
we want to know, because I'm now going to be stuck in the car listening to Taylor Swift because she just dropped a new album.
Oh, I know all about it.
So is that going to be a part of your life as well?
I have a 9-year-old daughter. Okay. Her birthday party is today, and guess what the theme is?
It's got to be all Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift.
Wait a second. You didn't have to get a favor from Haslam to, like, fly her in or anything, did you?
That was probably requested at some point. Maybe the 10th birthday. We'll save that.
What a thing to ask here right at the very beginning. And very well done.
Well, I just wonder because, you know, people with resources, you know, we're going to be expected to have to take kids to Taylor Swift, so.
Well, I'll say this, big day in our house because you got Taylor Swift album dropping today and Pearl Jam album dropping today, guys.
That's
come on.
Right.
Big day. Big day in the house, yeah.
I didn't know you were a Pearl Jam fan.
Oh, yeah, very excited.
I didn't even know you like music.
I like coffee. I like music. Let's keep it going. What else?
Teenage angst. You're bringing back
sure.
The teenage angst years.
We've all experienced it.
What's your favorite song to sing out loud while you're driving? Mine's Jeremy.
No, too dark.
It is dark. I will grant you that, but it's a really good song.
Him and his friends try to shoot the music video.
It's hard. It's like picking your favorite kid. Hard for me to say.
That's very true. How's the offseason going?
Great. Yeah, great. We're full speed ahead with the players, which is awesome getting them back in the building. It's so strange being they leave, the season ends, and then you got all this time before April 15th, and you're just in that big building and the locker room, and you just don't have players in there. So having them back in there, they bring an energy. So that's been incredible. Just being with our coaches and watching our coaches coach and teach and has been awesome this week. That's been really fun. And then this draft process, it's a long process. I give Andrew all the credit. He's got a very, very strong stronghold on how he does things, on this, how he runs the meetings, how he brings players in. You can ask him about the 1 through 300, and he's going to tell you about each player and something about them. And I don't have the bandwidth that he does to be able to do that. But he's in full control right now. It's kind of fun to watch him work.
You know, we are very simple people, the media, the fans. At times we distill your offseason to a few themes, like how is the quarterback, how healthy he is, who's going to be calling plays. Like, what do the players think when they get in that building? Are they eager to see Deshaun, or is it business as usual?
I think at this point in the they're excited to see their teammates. I'd say that for sure. Everybody spreads out all over the country, sometimes the world, when the off season hits, and then you get to come back and see each other. So I think there's that element of definitely seeing your teammates. But I would tell you it's April. You know, we don't really look too far ahead. I think the guys understand, or at least I believe they're kind of like, okay, week one, phase one, meetings. Lifting, running, repeat. You know, that's kind of where we kind of put the blinders on and don't look too far ahead, other than to say I think they really enjoy being around each other.
Obviously, we don't want to dance around the shoulder injury of Deshaun Watson, but I really want to know with everybody. You had a lot of guys injured last year. So how does that play into bringing them back? Because we had just think, well, you know, it's a new season. Everybody should be out there. But it's like, nah, guys got surgery over the offseason. Yeah. They got surgery later in the season. How do you go about that?
it's all part of it. You know, injuries are a part of our game and will always be a part of our game, and we all hate them. They're terrible, I could tell you. Just it's no fun watching your guys go through those. And then there's off-season surgeries, and guys are coming back from surgery. You very rarely go into a season where it's just everybody's, you know, feeling exactly how they, you know, nobody's coming off injuries. Everybody's feeling great. Even some of the players coming out of the draft are coming off of injury. So you take all that into account. But that's just part of our business is rehab. And I think our guys do a great job of it. And you factor all that into your planning. So, you know, it's not a one size fits all. So as guys come in to start to work out, there are certain guys that are on different levels based on returning from injury.
Coach Kevin Stefanski in studio with us. So when you talk about rehab and Deshaun, obviously you, the organization on record, 40-yard throws he's been throwing, you know, throughout the days, and we all expect him now to be ready week one. That injury in particular is one that had a lot of people nervous. Is it something that made him nervous? Was it something that made you guys nervous as you delved into it? How quickly did you Google glenoid? What you heard?
I still haven't. I know what I know. I trust the people that are experts. No, I think it's like anything. Deshaun is rehabbing his injury, had his surgery. He's working. He's doing everything and more. I mean, that's kind of his mentality of as he rehabs. So I get to watch him work every single day, how he comes to work, how he gets through his rehab, how he goes in the meeting rooms, just in the weight room. He's exactly where he needs to be. I don't get too far ahead and say, what's he going to be doing in May, June, July? I just know he's doing exactly what he needs to be doing right now, and he's doing a great job.
I know you've referenced recently that he texts you if he has a play he'd like to see or be featured in. All right, he's texted with the coach. I always wonder about this when it comes to coaches and their interactions with the players, especially in the year 2024. How many guys are texting you?
Oh, all of them.
All of them?
Our players?
Yes.
Yeah, nobody picks up the phone and calls. I haven't heard a player's voice on a phone in a very long time.
What's the frequency of those texts out of the season?
Yeah, there's certain guys, and I'll text. I'll usually start the text. I like to check in on them a lot. Every other week, just where are you? How are you doing? You know, everything okay? That type of thing. And guys are great at getting back to me. And that's why I say they're all over the world. You know, Miles is in Japan a little bit ago, and guys are traveling, and a lot of Caribbean trips for a bunch of guys. So for me, I just want to always keep the dialogue going, but it's dialogue over text. It's not – nobody's picking up the phone.
What did you think the job was going to be before you were a head coach, and what have you learned here over the first 4 years about what it's like – going into your fifth, what it's like being a head coach in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I was very, very, very lucky when I was at the Vikings. My first job in the NFL, I was the assistant to the head coach. So my office was right outside Coach Brad Childress, right outside his office. So I saw daily that stream of people going in and out of the office, and here comes a player who's disgruntled. Here comes a business person. Here comes, you know, another coach. And just I had a front row seat of what goes on in that office and some of the stuff that comes across the desk. So now, having said that, there's always something unique. You know, that you don't have a manual for everything. But I was pretty eyes wide open for what I was getting myself into. I maybe didn't realize how good the talk radio was in this town. Maybe that was one thing that I learned over the course of time.
It is?
Stop.
I didn't say who. I said talk radio general.
Okay.
That's no. Interesting. But other than that, I mean, I really did. I felt confident in knowing what this job encompasses. And I take it seriously. I know because I hear from our fans all the time. I know how important the Brownies are to this to Northeast Ohio and beyond. I get it. And I've said this to you. I may have said it to you guys before. Like I'm not that far removed from being a fan. I'm not that far removed from listening to talk radio, from going to practices, to going to games. Like I know that feeling really well.
But it's year five now. So players talk about all the time. Njoku now going into, what is it, year eight. Like he's talked about the difference of maturity. What about for a head coach? How much has it changed for you now? And the confidence level, where is your confidence going into this year compared to where it was that first year?
Yeah, I do think there's something to be said for all of us doing your job, going you know, another lap around the sun, getting comfortable with what you do. You don't know what you don't know until you do it, until you're in there and learning and failing and learning and winning and learning. I think for me, trying to constantly be getting a little, you know, a little bit better, trying to get a little bit better each season. There's that element for me. So I feel like I'm growing and learning as I go. I am not a finished product. I've told our players this. I want the best version of them. They want the best version of me, and we're constantly trying to get there. But certainly the more games you've been involved in, there's confidence that comes from that, certainly.
Over your time being a head coach, you know, messages have to change. From last year going into last year, what have you done to go into this year to tweak the message that you're sending so it doesn't start to fall on deaf ears, so it doesn't start to get monotonous?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Ken. It's something I think about a lot because there are certain things that are core to who we are, whether it's your identity, things that you believe in, offense, defense, special teams, things that we believe in terms of how we work and how we go about our business. Those things will never change. But to your point, 2024, that team's going to be completely different than 2023. It's just some players are different, coaches are different. Just it's not the same. You don't just start where you left off. So I'm always thinking about that messaging. You could ask our players or coaches. I like to be very, very concise and succinct and try to grab them and grab their attention in my messaging. But I'm in front of our team quite a bit. That's the one thing I remember talking to Tito about. Tito's like, yeah, we have one team meeting. It's the first day of training camp or spring training, sorry. First, and then that's it. There's no more team meetings in baseball. In football, I'm in front of the team on Monday morning, Wednesday morning, Friday morning, Saturday night, Sunday before the game. So I'm always constantly thinking about how can I shape the environment with my messaging.
How hard is it to delegate? You seem to be very good at that. And basically any other head coach I've ever come across has been a control freak.
Yeah, not hard. I mean, if you surround yourself with good people, and I think we've done that, I really trust the people that we have, it's not hard. If I had to do this job by myself, I would fail. So I need those people around me.
There's always tough moments as a head coach. There was a shakeup within the building with the staff. Was that call to Alex Van Pelt the toughest thing you've had to do so far as a head coach?
There's a lot of tough decisions you make. Everything's hard. And when you bring in people into this, when you bring in people that you care about, when you bring in these are real human beings that you've spent a lot of time with, you've gotten to know, that's hard. And that's hard in any business that you make change. Doesn't mean that you don't do it when you feel like it's the right thing to do. Doesn't change how you feel about people. Doesn't mean that you think they're bad people or bad coaches, obviously. But sometimes you make decisions that you think are in the best interest of the team. And that's what we've done. And that's what we'll always do. And we have to do that again, because in this business of sports, in this business of football, we are trying to, in any way we can, get better.
You know, we're always talking about play calling. And so what's going to manifest in that is talking about the play caller. And you guys have made that obviously something that's going to be up in the air until you finally decide. Doesn't seem like you're ready to decide yet. What are the factors that go into making that kind of evaluation?
Yeah, I think for me, it really goes into looking at this offseason, how we have not been on the practice field yet together. We haven't been in a practice together. We haven't been in a preseason game together. So just I want to see how everybody on our offensive staff, myself, Ken, really every coach, I just want to see how it goes over the course of the next months and really see where I can help, where I can fill in the gaps, where I can because that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get like we were talking about, the best version of myself. I'm trying to get the best version of our coaching staff too. So whatever I think makes the most sense for us to perform at a high level, that's what we'll do. I just don't think sitting here on April 19th, I can make that decision. I know it's something that a lot of people talk about. You know, I'm sure you guys get to fill up the airwaves on it. We will make the best decision for the team. But I don't personally feel like it's something that needs to be decided now.
I'm sure you're sick of answering the question. And honestly, like we have not discussed it because I don't think anybody cares anymore.
Yeah.
They will care once you announce it, I'm sure. But it's
right.
Like, well, we can't speculate. We can't.
I've already
the time
told
doing
Grossi. I'm telling him. So he's getting the call first. Or I'll text him. I won't call him. I'll text him.
Well, that just bothers me. Now I got to tell. I have something for Daryl later on, and you know how he can be. Go
That's
ahead.
Right.
So Ken Dorsey comes over, and a lot of fans only know him from either going up against Ohio State in the national championship or the infamous camera view from him throwing the headset and being frustrated. First reaction from it's one thing to hire a guy, sit with him, and have an interview. What has he been like in Berea?
Awesome. And you know, I would go back. What's awesome about Coach Dorsey is unbelievable player. Have him tell you stories of the teammates that he had. I mean, we're talking Hall of Famers at Miami. had an NFL career, which is not easy to do as a backup. And I just think backup quarterbacks make really good coaches. I think there's guys that I've coached, that Teddy Bridgewater, who was a starting quarterback and at times a backup quarterback. He's coaching high school ball. The guys I've been around, I'm not gonna put any pressure on them, but I feel like there's guys that are going to be head coaches in this league. There's a lot of, that position really lends itself to coaching because you're spending so much time preparing when you're maybe not even playing. But he was such a decorated player as a young person, and then got into coaching. And Ken's a grinder. He and I have kind of stayed in touch over the years. He's bounced around, had a ton of success down there in Carolina, doing different jobs, and obviously success going to the Super Bowl with Cam, and then watching what he did in Buffalo. And just to your question, we've spent a lot of time together, and I can tell you he's a really, really, really high-level thinker. And he's also passionate about this game. And I think what our players will feel from Ken and what I've already felt in these meetings is he is passionate about offensive football. He's passionate about being an attack mentality. And you will feel that from Ken really throughout. And I should mention, you know, that's one of his strengths. And you're also, when you guys come out to practice, you're going to see Deuce Staley and you're going to hear Deuce Staley and you're going to see Andy Dickerson and Tommy Reese. And we have a bunch of new voices in there that I think will get the guys' attention.
Did he start to get after some things with you, maybe behind the scenes, like, hey, maybe we can use Elijah Moore like this. Maybe Jerry Jeudy could be this way, and something that you're like, wow, I've got.
Without a doubt. Yes. Yes. We've had, and that's the fun part of Ken. He's got a really, really good feel for a variety of elements of the game, but it's a fresh perspective for me. But Ken's also got the right temperament. He's a really good person. Again, he's a former Brown, so he gets this town as well. And I'm excited that he's back in this building.
Kevin Stefanski joining us, the head coach of your Cleveland Browns, live and in studio in the Serpentini Auto Group Studios. Have you ever heard this song? We got his mic. You ever heard this song?
Of course I've heard that one. I think the kids listen to that one on the way to school every day.
On his playlist, yes.
I wanted to know this. How many meetings do you, during the draft, sit in with players? I imagine some, but
the prospective players,
yes,
that are coming in, yeah, all of them. So you get to bring in 30 guys. They call those the 30 visits. Mm-hmm. And I sit in with each one of them. And some of them are guys that we might be interested in. Some are guys that we're not interested in, maybe doing a little smoke and mirrors. There's some guys that maybe are going to be undrafted. Other guys, you're getting medical on them, medical. Maybe they weren't at the combine and didn't get through the physical. So, but I sit with all of them. It's really, really interesting just to sit with them, see what makes them tick. Mm-hmm. For us, it's how do they learn best? Are they visual learners? Are there guys that we're going to want to spend more time in this area of the building? What we'll do is, as coaches, we'll actually give them an install. So we'll spend about an hour with them as coaches, go to a bunch of other meetings, and then bring them back for a walkthrough, see what they retained. So those are what those meetings are really about.
Has the demeanor of them, the answers from them changed because of NIL? Is there a bit more professionalism, or what's in it for me? What's it like?
Things have certainly changed. I don't know that I've picked up on it totally with just the visits of the guys, but just watching the landscape and talking to different people, talking to college coaches, things are different. It just is. And I'm not saying different for better, different for worse. It's just they're different. I think the NIL, the transfer portal, has certainly made it that the players maybe a little bit more worldly. Maybe, you know, we have guys that are making a lot of money in college coming into this thing. We have guys that are going to different schools and transferring and making quote-unquote business decisions, whereas back in the day, you know, that didn't exist as much.
Are there more questions about you and your staff from them now? Because they can go anywhere in college, it seems.
Not so much. You know, they're eyes wide open. They know, and I tell them that in recruiting and in the transfer portal, they get to pick. In the draft, we get to pick. And so they do lose a little bit of that. But, you know, I've been really, really impressed. I like to ask them a lot of times what they do. You know, okay, so you're in, and we talk about a lot of things, but what are you doing when you're away from this building? What are you into? Food, music, movies? And it is incredible how many gamers there are in this generation. Like, blows me away. Everybody's playing Call of Duty or Fortnite or Madden or whatever it is, but that's really so much of what they do. And you know, we talk about Gen Z and how to coach these kids. That's one of the things, honestly, we talk about is, you know, everybody says, well, they don't pay super attention. Well, these guys play games for 3 hours, paying pretty close attention. So I say that to say it's our job to reach them any way we can.
You have said that the draft is still Andrew Berry's show. And I find it interesting because normally when a coach wins one Coach of the Year, now two Coach of the Year awards, and they've been at a place for longer than 4 years, they start to gain around the NFL traditionally more power. But yet it doesn't seem like you want to use that power.
I don't want Andrew's job. Andrew doesn't want my job. I think that's the easiest way to put it. I trust him completely. He works his butt off at it. I have a very, very healthy respect for what he and the personnel group does. Now, having said that, Andrew listens to our coaches. He listens to me. I give him, you know, what I think about a player. Just recently, he's, you know, hey, go put this guy on. Tell me what you think. So that occurs, but I trust him to do his job.
So how does that go down in real life where you might be watching a Big Ten championship game or a playoff game if you've got the time, and you see someone that stands out, and you're like, all right, I'm looking at our picks. I know we've got this pick in the second round or the third round. How does that process begin with Andrew communicating to him how that player could fit in your scheme?
That's a huge part of what we do. I think we, and I've told Andrew this, we run our draft meetings are so fun and so, I'll use this word, efficient. Because what we don't do is we don't all get in one room and, okay, start with the first guy. Let's all just.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Read our reports, and it's like, you know, literally go around the room and read what you think. Well, we spend time on maybe guys that there's differences on. Hey, one scout saw him this way, another scout saw him this way, I saw him this way. Let's talk about it. Let's talk this one through. We don't spend time on guys that are consensus players. We spend time on guys that we maybe see a little bit differently. And then on top of that, what we really spend time with the position coaches especially is like, how does this guy fit our scheme? There are guys that are like, man, DNA fit, like right now, put him out there, he's good to go. There's other guys like, well, he's never done what we would ask him to do. He has the traits. We really think we can get out of him. Or conversely, you know what? I don't think we can get – he might fit this other team really, really well. He's not going to fit what we do.
Is there – how do I look at it here with these type of players? Is there more pressure – do you feel more pressure because you have less picks than what you might have in the past? Because I remember, I mean, we've done Browns drafts where they had 13 picks in a right. season, and now you only have six this year. Is there a difference there? Or do you feel like we've got to get them all right?
We have six for now. With Andrew, you never know.
Stay tuned.
I wouldn't say any pressure, any more pressure with six picks. Again, I just think Andrew has a strong feeling about the draft. He's got a strong conviction on how it's going to go. He'll have a plan, and he'll have a backup plan to that plan. So I think he's mindful of making sure each pick counts and that type of thing. But I know he's process oriented and I think he feels strongly about the process.
Obviously, we, the media, talk a lot about analytics, especially with this iteration of the Browns front office. And it seems like you guys have been able to marry that in a pretty special way to the point where you've had the success you've had. How do some of the analytics come into play? Is there ever a time where you are blown away by some of the things a front office say about traits that maybe you never thought of, things that matter, maybe capturing some of the data that we never even used to capture matters?
It's a good question. You know, if you ask Coach Schwartz that, Coach Schwartz would say they were doing analytics when he was at the Browns in the 90s. And he's right. It's you know, advanced statistics have been used forever. Now, the ability with the computers to even go deeper and analyze all this data, is that's the different piece. But I would tell you, we use research and information really in every aspect. We use it in personnel because you can combine all these traits like you mentioned and kind of give yourself maybe a formula of what the chances are that this guy can succeed. We use it obviously in coaching on game day. We can use it even what's fun now is you can measure separation. So everybody's wearing, you know, these GPS where you can measure how much literal yards, how much separation a tight end is getting, a wide receiver is getting. How far off does a corner typically play? Like, So I'm watching the tape, and, man, this guy plays off. He seems like he's really off. Hey, I'll shoot a text to somebody in our group, and I'll say, hey, what are the numbers off versus press in this guy? And so they can kind of dig into it. So I think it works both ways. Sometimes we will see something or maybe anecdotally see something, and then we can confirm it with a research group. Or, hey, our guys, hey, check this out. Something's pinging. It looks that this type of scheme really has hurt them in this personnel. Does that add up? Is that true? Why don't we watch a tape and see if that's true? So I think it really works in a bunch of different areas.
But is there still a little bit of room for, I know what the sheet says. I saw what I saw.
Oh, 100%. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's you got to wade through all the noise. And that's why I love, like, give us all the information. Give us all the tools. Give us everything at our disposal. Then at the end of the day, we get to make those decisions. And, you know, it oftentimes comes up when you're talking about fourth down decisions. And there's the chart, and then there's your gut. And there's plenty of times where that chart is literally, you know, it's the color yellow. It's not red or green. It's yellow. And that's your gut.
How do you decipher from a scouting report on any player to what he really can or can't do and what maybe the development that was lacking in college is showing you? Because, you're a coach. Obviously, you got a good staff. You want to be able to develop guys. You want to be able to develop them properly. So what do you see in certain things? You're like, wait a minute, that might be development there previously.
Yeah, it happens all the time. And those are the conversations that have been going on the last few months. Everybody runs a little bit different scheme, offense and defense in college. So for us, I'll take any position. We'll take tight end for now. You're watching a tight end play in college. How often are those guys in a three-point stance? Mm-hmm. Not very often. How often are they blocking in line? Not very often. Well, how often are teams really blocking power football nowadays? A little bit, short yardage, that type of thing. Teams are bringing in extra offensive linemen to do those jobs. So now it's like, okay, that player that I'm watching in college, while he may not do the traditional tight end inline stuff, but he's a pretty good guy if you separate him out from the core. And he can do enough in the run game that you got to keep the defense honest. So a lot of it is projection. You're really using your imagination and trying to say, okay, I see this guy. I see him drop his hips at the top of a drop or top of a route and run this and break in. Can I extrapolate that movement right there? Can he also do this? Can we also put him at number one outside and run those same routes? That's where more information is better. So did the player play in one of those all-star games where you can go watch the tape of him in the all-star games at the combine? Okay, let me confirm. Did I see that movement from him? So I think that happens across every position, but it's so specific to your scheme. And that's where I go back to that DNA match. There are certain guys that they're running very, very similar schemes, and that's an easy one to project for us. Then we do our homework on the ones that, wow, okay, they weren't asking him to do this, but I think that we can get it out of him.
I want to ask you, Kevin Stefanski joining us in the studio, head coach here at Cleveland Browns. I want to ask you about your foundation coming up here in moments. But do you like calling plays and working an offense indoors or outdoors more?
Anywhere. I'll play in the parking lot. You tell me where to play, we'll go.
I try to get him to
nice
bite.
Try.
Go ahead.
Yeah, but your family might like to be a little more insulated, right? I mean,
you can't
know.
Use the family against them, or you can't use the family as an argument for it.
Let's never know. You've been in some of the other venues.
I've been everywhere, man. We will play. We'll play anywhere. You tell us where to play. We're ready to roll.
Hey, when the news broke that the NFL was going to tinker in a big way with the kickoff rule, immediately we're sitting here, news breaks, we see it, and we're like, Elijah Moore, holy cow. What? And I know you've got Hines, you've got other options. Were you starting to spitball with your staff like, holy cow, this is a totally new world we're living in?
You know, it's so interesting that the whole process of that play, making it, we weren't sure if it was going to pass. That's a whole nother story. That's a chapter of the book in terms of how an idea comes up, the special teams or coaches are working on it, and then it becomes a rule. So we're excited about it. I really do look at it as an opportunity. It's going to, warn our fans. It's going to look totally different than anything they've seen before. We have not seen this play in football. The XFL ran a version of it. The XFL had 10 players 5 yards across from each other, a kicker and a returner. We're going to have two returners back there. There's not going to be 10 across in the kickoff return team. They'll have two guys that can be off. So it's going to look different. The yard lines that we're on are going to be different. So you may watch some of that XFL tape, but it's going to be a little bit different. So that's why I say we don't even know exactly what it will look like. We're working very hard at that play. I'll share with you guys myself, Bubba Ventrone, Stephen Bravo Brown, who's our assistant special teams coach, Mike Vrabel. Braves was up a couple weeks back. We all got in a room and we started watching the XFL play and we started getting on the board and we talked about it. And that's the fun part for us is this is something that's going on in all 32 clubs. Everyone's trying to go to school on this play and understand it. Is it going to be a different body type on kickoff? Probably. Is it a different returner? Maybe. Is it two returners? How about think about this? Okay, you're the kicker. Hang time means nothing now. In the old days, you had that run up to go pop that ball and get it as high as you could so the return team could get down. Hang time means nothing. All that matters now is placement. Can you place that ball on the 1 yard line or on the goal line, wherever you want to place it? So you're going to see kickers that just take 3 steps to kick the ball. That'll be unique. So we're working the problem, so to speak, but it is exciting for us. Bubba, speaking of former players, Bubba has literally has a helmet on. He's in our indoor. And he's lining up on the 35-yard line. He's taking drops, and he's got other assistants. He wants to feel what the play is going to feel like.
Put a helmet on for this?
Bubba's crazy. Yeah, I mean, he wants to know what our players are going to be feeling. And we had meetings this week with the players on it. Bubba took the whole team through the rules, what it's going to look like, and how we're going to work it. But I'm excited about the play because it's a play is now back in football. And while I can't tell you what it will look like, it will involve somebody catching a ball, someone running with said ball, someone trying to tackle you, someone trying to block the guy. So it's going to be football. It's just going to be so different. But I think it's exciting.
What's your second favorite sport?
I mean, growing up, it was definitely basketball. I follow, I'm rooting for our Cavs tomorrow, and I'm rooting for JB and the guys. I don't follow basketball as much as I used to, probably, growing up.
Yeah. Is there another sport you think you could coach at a high level?
No. No, not talented enough to do that. I will say this, and you've heard this. I mean, coaching is teaching. It's 100% teaching. I'll tell you this story. I was on the playing 9 holes with my oldest the other day when it was nice out there. Mm-hmm. And, I tell him what club to play, par 3. I'm like, okay, hit this club. I'm like, just here's some swing thoughts, blah, blah, blah. And he hits it about 10 feet. I'm like, okay, here we go. So we get to the green. I'm like, all right, here's where you want to hit it. Here's your line. Bangs it in for a birdie. I'm like, am I the greatest coach in the world? He's like, all right, next hole. Leave me alone. But no, I don't have that talent.
You mentioned Mike Vrabel. And I think when fans hear that, immediately they say, wow, listen to how secure our head coach is talking about another head coach, which has been somebody, I'll be honest, I'm a Buckeye. Like, man, it'd be cool if Mike Vrabel came to Cleveland and was the head coach. We have a head coach. You've won Coach of the Year twice. What has that experience been like with Mike on the staff? And how did this come to be that he would even be up for something like this, that you'd even be up for something like this?
Yeah, I love Coach Vrabel. He's been awesome. I've enjoyed just the time we've been together already has been really, really, really fun. He's a Buckeye. He's Northeast Ohio. He's got a great love for this area and this team. I loved when we first got in the building and put a brown sweatshirt on him, just seeing him walk around in a brown sweatshirt. I was like, all right, that looks good. So I'm glad we got him in the fold. He is really, really going to help me. And I say that because he's a friend of mine, but I couldn't pick up the phone and call him and talk to him about everything because he's in our conference. He's coaching another team in our conference. So now I just feel like I have a resource who's available to me that, because as we were talking about earlier, stuff's going to happen that really you can only talk to other head coaches, guys that have dealt with similar things. So that's just one area that he's helped us. I mentioned already he's spending a lot of time with us on the kickoff play, and because he's a guy that's been out there and has done that, and he's a former teammate of Bubba's in New England, so that's really helpful. He's helping Andrew with a lot of the draft stuff. We're giving him players to watch. So he's just an incredible resource for us. And really where it goes back to is once he – wasn't going to be a head coach this year, which I was shocked. I mean, I expected him to be a head coach. Once he wasn't in this cycle, I was like, dude, if you're not doing anything, we'll take you. Like, I'll take whatever you're willing to give us. And I think with his relationship with me, his relationship with Andrew, and I don't want to speak for Vrabes. He can speak for himself when he talks to you guys. But I just felt like he wanted to help, and I think he wanted to go somewhere where he had a familiarity with the group.
I want to talk to you about your foundation when we come back. You got a great event coming up on June 6th. With flag football over at the stadium. So Kevin Stefanski joining us live in studio in the Serpentini Auto Group studios, the head coach of your Cleveland Browns. The connection you have with Gino Auriemma, you spent some time at the Women's Final Four, correct?
Correct.
Okay, the connection you have with Gino Auriemma, I know there was an article in the paper.
Yeah.
Tell us.
Crazy. So Gino and my dad were born on the same day, same year, in the same city. So they played against each other growing up, high school basketball. So my dad has known Gino forever. And then we go down the shore. My family in the summertime goes down the shore. And my parents had a house in Avalon, New Jersey. I don't have it anymore. But for I forget how old I was. But all of a sudden, Gino and his family bought the house next door. So for about 5 years, Gino was our neighbor down the shore, same on the beach, same around town. And he's a legend, living legend, obviously, and somebody that I have a ton of respect for. And actually just put a – did not know you were going to ask me this, but I just put a box in the mail, some Browns gear for Gino heading to Storrs, Connecticut.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's absolutely wonderful.
So were you rooting for UConn when that bogus foul got called against Iowa? You said you were there on Friday.
I was there.
Terrible foul.
I told my kids, my daughter in particular, was really rooting hard for Caitlin Clark. Had number 22 written on her cheek and everything. I told her, do not tell anybody, but I'm rooting for UConn. Okay, keep this between us. And that foul at the end of the game. What was interesting about that? Were you guys down there?
Yeah.
They don't show the replay inside because they don't want you yelling at the officials. It's the NCAA. So I couldn't tell if it was a good call, bad call. I had to get in the car and call my dad before I got some inside information.
So. I saw me and my son were yelling about it because he doesn't know. And I'm like, this is a terrible call. You got to swallow the. Do you believe in swallowing the whistle at that time? You're not going to get in trouble for criticize a ref in another sport, are you? Like, that's not going to.
Yeah. Okay. I don't think I'm going to get a call from Roger on that.
Good.
But, I think in that moment, God, I don't think you call it. I think you let it go. And listen, if UConn scores there, everyone's going to be screaming that was an illegal foul. I wanted to see what Paige Beckers was going to do in that moment. And But by the same token, I cannot fault the official in that. I would love for him or her not to call it, but I can't fault him.
Is that kind of like how in the Super Bowl, and I wonder if you talk to your coaching staff like this and you've been in playoff games, they don't call holding in the Super Bowl. You play an entire season where we go over this and guys get nickel and dimed, and then the biggest game of the year, they swallow the whistle. Is that something you have to go over with your players, your coaching staff? Hey, bigger game, we understand. We might be able to get away with a little more.
There's a lot you talk about. We talk about each official crew that's coming in, what they call more often than others. We talk about when you're playing a primetime game, there's more cameras. So there's cameras typically along the goal line. So how you challenge changes, whether it's a 1 o'clock game or a primetime game, that will change for sure. You know, I tell the guys, we spend every Saturday morning, I tell them what color jersey the other opposing team's going to play so that our gloves match up. Because you want every advantage you can get. So if your hands are inside and we got white gloves on and they have white jerseys, maybe it gives you a chance for the officials not to see it.
Oh, that's fantastic. All right, the Keepers Foundation. I always say, like, the area has a way to get their hooks dug in people. And here you are with roots here. I mean, you're in year five as the head coach of the Browns, and now you have a new foundation out there, the Keepers Foundation. Tell everybody about this.
Yeah, just it's my family. We really want to do something in this community. This community has been incredible to us, and we want to, in any way we can, give back. And we've done, certainly we've been involved in different things, but we feel like we have a platform to do something. And we started this foundation, the Keepers Foundation, and the idea behind it is we're basically, you know, we're our brother's keeper. We want to take care of kids where we can. So we're going to focus on disadvantaged youth, focus in the youth community where we can make a difference. And this is really year one for us getting it off the ground. We're going to have a couple events this June and hopefully raise some money for some good causes.
Yeah, June 6th, you have a flag football tournament. This is under the lights at Cleveland Browns Stadium for obviously boys and girls playing flag football, correct?
That's right, boys and girls. It's under the lights, and it's for a reason. There's nothing like playing football under the lights. I could tell you our players love it. Sometimes we'll have a practice at night, and there's all this juice from just being outside, and the guys don't realize that it's going to be a 2.5-hour knock them, drag them out practice, but they're excited. And then anytime, as everybody knows, you go down into the stadium, you go down to our stadium under the lights, it's something special. So having a flag football event, which flag football is so important to the growth of our game, having an event down there where we can – get these kids involved, I think, is a big deal.
It's awesome. Just being able to show that you've been here long enough, you can plant your roots here, and then do something really good for the community. I think that means a lot to the people of Cleveland.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to the people of Cleveland, this community. You know, you mentioned roots. We're here. Our kids, you know, going to school here. We love it. The people that have been, you know, so gracious to us, we want to give back.
You also have, this is Tone's birthday, June 13th, night out with Kevin Stefanski by the lake. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about that at all?
Well, you guys are invited. Okay, I want both you guys down there. So it's really, this is the second part of our event. And what we're going to do, again, is just to raise some money. We want to go down by the lake, have some fun, food, drink, laugh. So we'll sell some tickets. There'll be a limited number of tickets. And we want to raise as much money as we can for the foundation. But it'll be really, the emphasis is on having fun down there. So I'll be down there with some of our friends around town, including you guys, and put on a show for some people and have some fun.
I always end up at an event on your birthday.
Well,
it's
right?
Always your birthday, yeah. Yes. When you turned 40, that was a huge to-do, and I don't even know what you're turning now.
We get in a hotel
anymore.
Room?
I would probably assume separate hotel rooms
no,
if you want
shared,
to.
We've shared a bed.
And I know you
before.
Snore, and I don't like it. He sleeps totally naked.
Okay.
And he snores, which is, you'd be surprised if you looked
you
at both of us.
And you shared a bed with him?
No,
totally?
No, no. Oh. We shared, see, I was going to
Your
Ames,
story's
Iowa.
Changing.
Well, because... I got to tell you another part of the story that's off here. He won't use the bathroom in the hotel room. He goes down to the lobby, except when we were at the library at the University of Notre Dame. Then he decided to go do that. Anyway, if you looked at both of us, you would assume I'm the one who snores. He's the one who snores.
Don't judge a book by its cover.
Congested. I can't explain
it. One of the greatest surprises ever. I mean, he was lushed up at the time. But, yeah, we were on the road. We had to go to Iowa for an event. And so, yeah, I have shared a room with him, and I'd rather get a night's sleep.
I'll get you guys hotel rooms that night if you need them. And hey, we'll sing happy birthday to you. Lyman, okay?
This is perfect. Not just my birthday.
Well, it's Axel's birthday,
Kenny's
too, but
son.
He ain't coming. We'll celebrate his birthday another
day. Sing for Axel, too.
Nah, don't worry about him. He gets enough. Coach, can't thank you enough for the time. Really, all the best during the off season. All the best for whatever off time you have. And obviously, we're looking forward to June 6th over at the stadium, and we're looking forward to June 13th over along the lake.
Yeah, keep your eyes out. We'll put some stuff on social media so we can get some information where you guys can buy tickets to that. But again, appreciate you guys having me in here.
Keepers Foundation, make sure you're paying attention to it. Coach, thank you very much. Head coach, your Cleveland Browns, Kevin Stefanski, 920, Mr. Cavalier. Joining us on the show, I got to get people whooped up about the Cavs in this
Let's
game.
Let's go, Cavs. Let's go.
Coach said he was fired
1
up.
1 o'clock. I'm fired up.
It ain't my fault. I didn't do it.
Playoffs, baby.
We play a lot of songs on this show.
Yeah, it's a song show.
It's a big song show.
Yeah. A lot of ass and off
There's
over
just a lot
here.
Of Michael
yeah.
Stanley.
Yeah, basically. That's how it works out. Coming in hot, 940 as well. 216-474-0092.
Do we want Coach listening to Coming in Hot?
I mean, I'm sure someone's played a clip for him here or there a time or two, so we'll find out. 940 coming in hot. Ken Carman, Tone Master General, take us with you to work on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.